question, jerk!
Hey, listen, nerds. It's time for another Two-Headed Nerd Answer of the Week podcast with Joe and Matt.
That's right. We're back with another Answer of the Week. It is the best podcast on the internet. Other people told me that. I'm not just bragging. Just throwing that out there. My name's Matt Baum. I'm one of the hosts of the Two-Headed Nerd podcast.
You.
This other sack of smack across from me is Joe Patrick. You know him. You love him. His job is simple. It goes like this. Each week, we have a question of the week. Joe posts it on the THN forums. We announce it on Facebook and Twitter, so it's important to follow us there, too. And then you guys send us your answers. You can email us an MP3. You can go on the forums, and you can write as much as you want about the answer, or you can call the Ziggurat Direct Line, 402-819-4894, and leave us a message with your answer. Let's get right to it. But before we do, Joey, what did we ask these kids?
Gotham premiered this week.
And you have feelings.
Everyone's got feelings about it.
All got feelings.
So this week's question was, what did you guys think of the first episode of Gotham?
I'm calling it Batman without Batman.
It's Batman without Batman. There's going to be spoilers. I mean, we're not holding anything back, as with all of our film and TV reviews.
It's true. This is spoilerific.
We're going to talk about it for realsies.
You have no excuse. It's been out there for more than 5 days.
It has been. Yeah, it has been more than 5 days.
Come on. 5 times 24 is a lot. I don't know. It's a lot of hours. That's all I know. Let's get right to it. Chase Magnet, number one, called us on the Ziggurat Hotline.
It's 120 hours.
Something like that. No one can be sure. No one can be sure.
Okay.
Hey, it's Chase Magnet, writer at comicbook.com and Comics Bulletin, at Reverend Magnet on Twitter, and here's my 3-minute review of the Gotham pilot. There are some good elements in the show. The city looks great with the notable exception of a police station that is lit like a strip club and with holding cells that are 5 feet from the desk. The casting is generally good, too. Donald Logue is Harvey Bullock, Jada Pinkett Smith is Fish Mooney, and especially The Wire's John Doman is Carmichael Cohen. Unfortunately, even these talented actors can do very little with one of the worst scripts of 2014.
Yikes.
Outside of the visuals and casting, Gotham is an utter disaster. For expediency's sake, I've created a numbered list of its major sins. 1. The dialogue. Subtlety is not a word in anyone's vocabulary. Characters state who they are and what others are like. Don't worry about a lack of clarity. Everyone wants to tell you exactly how things are in Gotham. 2. There aren't characters in this show. There are only caricatures. It's not just their words that lack any ambiguity. From war hero and hothead James Gordon to cynical and corrupt Harvey Bullock, these people have all the depth of the cardboard cutouts that will inevitably be produced in their likenesses. 3. Character references. We get it. It's Gotham. It's in the title. They didn't have to pack half of Arkham, including Grundy Street, into a 45-minute package.
Yeah, that made me groan.
4. The dialogue. Character speech patterns are impossible to predict. They use vocabulary and phrases that make no sense coming out of their mouth, but that must have sounded clever to someone. 5. The ham-fisted nature of every point in this show. Not only do the writers pack a million characters and bits of information into this episode, but they're going to force these into your eyes like you're Alex in A Clockwork Orange. A guy named Edward Nigma asked a lot of questions. Do you get it yet? If not, Bullock will mention that he likes riddles, too. 6. This clearly isn't a detective story. Literally every clue and connection made lands in the laps of Gordon and Bullock. The story is more in connection with an arcade shooter on the rails than the Dashiell Hammett novel. 7. The dialogue. Speaking of Dashiell Hammett, most of the dialogue in this episode reads like something from a high schooler doing a bad imitation of one of his novels. 8. The ending is simply terrible. Jim Gordon confesses to a 10-year-old less than a week after his parents are murdered that he helped to frame and kill an innocent man to solve the case. Then he gives Bruce his badge and asks what he should do next. What is this, A Mice and Men? Is Gordon playing the Lemmy to Bruce's George? 9. Then there's the actual ending where the penguin kills a guy and jams a sandwich into his own face. That shit is pure poetry. 10. Did I mention the dialogue? I could continue, but time's a factor here. For some inexplicable reason, it seems like every Bat fan on the planet wants to apologize for a story that isn't merely subpar, but complete garbage. If we keep supporting crap like this, then it's no surprise that barely any effort is put into adapting comics into television. This right here is why we can't have nice things.
Chase Magnet was not happy with Gotham.
So, yeah, Chase was upset.
He was, to put it mildly.
I can only say that I did not find it nearly as egregious as Chase did, Though there are certainly some, there were elements that made me groan. Yes, absolutely. The Grundy Street thing.
That was just dumb. That was just,
I mean,
dumb.
Whatever. They're never going to get to Solomon Grundy, so who cares?
And I get that, but come on.
I also totally agree. I did not need every single character to be connected. I do not need.
Well, we're going to get there. We're going to get to our reviews.
Yeah, yeah.
We'll get to our reviews.
So Chase.
That's
thank,
a.
Thank
that
you
is
for.
A, we're gonna, what we're going to do, normally we keep track of everybody's answers, and then we give like a best, like, best call. We'll still do that, but we're going to mark these like the Rotten Tomato meter. So we're going to count Chase's thumbs down. That's one thumbs down for Gotham.
That's
from
a
Chase Magnus.
That's a thumb way down.
Chase, thank you for your call. Very, very well read and well thought out. I appreciate that. Get to our first MP3, Mr. Brent Sheridan. Let's see if he shares Chase's opinion.
Hey guys, this is Brent Sheridan sending in my email for the question of the week. Gotham, I was actually pleasantly impressed with this show. They did a really good job world building or showing the city of Gotham, and I thought that the characters were interesting, and I will be definitely one to check it out again. I do feel like a lot of the introductions were a little heavy-handed. Maybe could have spread them out a little more over the course of the show. For example, Poison Ivy was kind of a pointless throw in. Riddler was fine, but he's already, I mean, if they have, I mean, Bruce is what, 8? So if they have 10, 12, 14 years, 15 years before he's Batman, he's a little too Riddler-esque for me at this point. He seems to not be,
it's too far gone already,
able to go anywhere, if that makes sense. He's already kind of there. It seems like he's already a little upset with Jim for answering his riddle. And the I like the idea of the Penguin building up, working his way to the crime lord. I have to say that's probably the most interesting storyline so far in the show, and how I believe we're really going to get into the heart of Gotham in understanding this criminal world that they are a part of. And I'm excited to see how the show goes, and we'll see how it is at the end of this first season here. All right, have a good day, guys. Bye.
Welcome aboard, Brent.
Welcome aboard, buddy. Brent giving a thumbs up.
Thumbs up.
He's giving a thumbs up. Not
a little bit more even-handed.
Yeah, not a little more even-handed, and not an extremely enthusiastic thumbs up, but a thumbs up nonetheless.
Yeah, yeah. Brent was a fan of the Penguin storyline.
Okay,
that's fair. The Riddler, he makes some really excellent points about the Riddler.
Yeah, like, and we'll get into it.
That dude is not going to get hired by the police department, okay?
No.
Not if that's how he
first of all,
himself.
No. Second of all, you're telling me when he becomes a bat villain, he's like 20 years older than Batman? Like, how old is the Riddler? He's like 45 when he's fighting Batman?
But the Riddler's deal is not like fisticuffs.
I get that. But even so, I never pictured him as like when Batman was fighting the Riddler. I never looked and went, man, that dude's got to be almost 50. you know what I mean?
I guess the Riddler's age, like, same with the Penguin. Like,
I'll buy the Penguin's an older guy.
To me, the Penguin reads older.
Yeah.
And the Riddler could be older or not to me.
I suppose.
It doesn't matter with that character.
It's not that important, I suppose, but it did bother me. I get where he's going there.
Sure, I get you. A thumbs up from
Brent. Welcome aboard, buddy. Thank you for your call.
Let's move on.
Let's go back to the phone line.
Hey guys, Dwight from Chicago. Answering this week's question of the week, what did we think of the premiere of Gotham? Well, loved it. Loved it, loved it, loved it. It is appointment television now after just one episode. And I'm sure that you're going to get a lot of the other callers telling you all of the great, wonderful things about it. I am going to focus on the nitpicky parts, the things that caused me to pause it and scream at the television. The first and foremost, Selina Kyle did not see Bruce Wayne's parents get killed in any comic book I have ever read. That just doesn't, it just made my head just explode right there. Obviously, they're going to play up the whole Bruce and Selina are going to, you know, meet and be boyfriend and girlfriend all during high school. Okay. We'll let it go. That's the small villain, I suppose. And also at the end, how did Selina get all the way out into to Stately Wayne Manor?
She jogged.
The public transportation runs that far. That's one. I loved the fact that they kept Renee Montoya as a lesbian. That's part of her character, and I'm glad that they didn't go and change that. But the fact that she had an affair with Commissioner Commissioner Gordon, I'm sorry, Jim Gordon's fiance, that's gonna make some interesting storylines. The Penguin, the Cobblepots have been established as one of the richer families in Gotham, just like the Wayne. So now that's just not even part of it anymore. Again, you know, I could go on and on with those kinds of things, but that's just a comic book nerd in me that's going to have those issues. As a television show, as for what it was, great show, great actors, and I am going to watch every week, but it's going to probably take me an hour and a half or an hour show because I'm going to have to keep pausing and going, no, that's not what happened in the book. But I guess that's what makes a great show. Again, thanks. Hope you guys will play this one, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Dwight, we're always going to play your calls, man.
Sorry, Dwight. We didn't have room for it this week.
We are always going to play your calls. You're one of our favorites. Dwight, I want to say enthusiastic thumbs up, but he had some issues too.
Well, I mean, there's always going to be nitpicky stuff, and I get it.
A fair-handed thumbs up, we'll call
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah. Dwight raises a point that a lot of comic fans have to deal with one way or the other. They either need to be able to let go.
Right.
And let the show be its unique snowflake.
Right.
Or they need to embrace that cold-hearted, that cold pit in their stomach and crab about every little tiny difference.
Right.
You're never going to enjoy anything, any other form of the medium if you can't let it go.
Well, but there is also certainly a balance that can be achieved.
Yes. I mean, there certainly is. Sometimes there are things that are changed.
It is not black or white.
Arbitrarily, yeah. For no reason.
And we'll get to that. There's some things I'd like to talk about in a little bit.
Dwight brought up Smallville, which is absolutely the number one offender of everything in a character's mythology, all having to be connected from the moment you start reading about them or watching them.
Yeah, I sure am glad they didn't do anything like that in this show.
No, they did. They did.
we'll get to that.
But yeah, okay. Thank you, Dwight, as always. But he raises some good points.
Dwight gives a thumbs up. Oh, this is my buddy Tyler from work. And I'm going to play it, but he bailed. He chickened out.
Hi, my name is Tyler. I was calling to answer the question of the week regarding a short review of the first episode of Gotham.
You panicked and bailed out.
Is that what happened?
Tyler was going to call and review the pilot episode of ALF. And talk about how brave that he thought the creators were to focus on this suburban family with an alien living with them in Gotham. And how he did not see it coming at all. And he was like, it's such a pleasant surprise, but he chickened out.
Damn it, Tyler.
It would have been great. It
would have been totally come on, man.
So Tyler will mark him as a thumbs up.
Yeah, sure.
It's a thumbs up from Tyler. Randy Andrews, he's got some feelings. Let's see what he's got for us.
Greetings, Joe and Matt. This is Randy Andrews emailing in for the question of the week. I was able to look at this series on Hulu, which is a really great place to watch it. I really liked it.
It's called brought to you by Hulu.
The tone of it. I liked how they showed that Harvey Bullock was still kind of a gruff character and a little big, but he's not the old grizzled character that we know him now as. And also Jim Gordon. I like his character. I like how he is, how he's different from everyone else around him. Also, there's some interesting things about it with, like, little spoilers here and there with, say, a young Catwoman stealing stuff on the street and just walking by people, and she kind of has cat ears in the first scene you see her. So it's kind of fun and enjoyable, and I think they've set the tone correctly for Gotham. When you don't see the identity of the killer that killed Bruce Wayne's parents. So I really like it.
Bruce Wayne's
I'm looking
parents
forward
died?
To seeing more of it. And that's all I got for you this week, guys. Check out my soundtrack blog at soundtrackalley.blogspot.com. The music I'm using this week is called Aurora, and it's by Hans Zimmer, which was a special thing that he did for a shooting in Colorado. So anyway,
whoa.
That's it for you guys. Hope you liked it, and we'll see you in a week. Bye for now.
Thumbs up from Randy. He dug it.
Thumbs up.
Thumbs up from Randy. Thank you for your call, Randy. We look forward to hearing from you every week.
That music was very nice.
Yeah, it was nice. I didn't realize it was like from the Aurora shooting. It's a little dark. Jeez.
Well, wasn't the Aurora shooting like a showing of Dark Knight Rises?
Yes. According to several conspiracy theorists out there, never happened.
Well, those people are idiots.
Yeah, it was Obama setting up to try to take our guns. You know how it goes.
Stupid Obama.
Yeah, go figure. Randy liked it. There were some subtle differences he was into. I'll get to my review in a minute here.
Yeah, we'll talk about it.
That's
we'll,
a thumbs up from Randy. Soon. Let's get to our final call. Chris Mounts. Hopefully he's a little more sober than last time he called. You know what I mean.
Hey, Joe and Matt. Chris Mounts calling in my answer of the week. Hanging out here with Weed from Burnt Wieners. Rolling some blunts for our man Waka Flocka Flame here on the tour bus. Wanted to call you guys and let you know. Tempted a knee-jerk reaction. Have a drink with little Johnny Walker with U.S. Agent, but I think I'm going to have to go with, drink with Grimjack. He's got a bar.
Okay, this is last week's question.
Bar. Let it roll, man. Let it roll.
Nexus Point, you could drink with the greatest drunks of all time or any dimension. You'd really get floppy with my man Grimjack. Wait a second. What's that, Weed? Huh? My man Weed saying we got rolled out a window because you want to know about what we thought of Gotham, our favorite show about our favorite hero before he was a hero. Well, me and Weed think.
Okay, so we got an answer to last week's question.
He really pulled it out there at the end.
And a thumbs down. I'm going to call that.
You never know what you're going to get with those burnt wieners.
Truly,
guys.
Truly.
Never, ever.
So let's look at our massive sampling that we got here. And
our six callers.
Our six callers.
Do not count Tyler.
We have two thumbs down, four thumbs up. So that's 60% of Rotten Tomatoes right there. You know, it's 60% fresh.
Two thirds. Yeah. 66%.
Yeah. 65%. 66%. Whatever. Yeah. Who can do that math? Nobody.
I can. 66.67%.
That's not even a real number. 60% fresh, according to the six people that called. Come on, you guys. More of you saw Gotham
okay,
than this.
Now, Princess Ashley, she tweeted at us last night. Where's the new question? Where's the new question?
It's where it's always at.
Ashley, the question went up a week ago, sweetheart.
<Come on. laughs>
And I said, get at us. You got hours left to call.
Yeah,
and
I mean,
then
come
like,
on.
At 2 o'clock in the morning, I saw a tweet. It was like, I f***ed it up.
Look, I'm going to let you guys in on a little secret on how the sausage is made with the answer of the week. We say the cutoff is Friday at midnight, okay? We don't sit down to record the show until Saturday, somewhere between 10:30 and 11:30-ish.
Like, we got to this at, like, noon.
And we record the show proper, the comic book podcast first. So, truly, we don't get to the answer of the week until at least one, usually.
Yeah,
so
right.
You've got some extra time. You call me Saturday morning, your question's getting on the air, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
All right? Now, let's try and stick to the midnight thing, but regardless, there's that. Let's talk about our favorite call.
We want to get it up. We need everyone to feel that there's a sense of urgency. We want to have all our ducks in a row before we start recording, okay?
Favorite call. And let's let it lead right in, because you're probably going to agree with your favorite call.
Well, that's not necessarily true. I am going to give Chase my favorite call.
I am too. Chase
because
gets
I think he had the most. He obviously gave it a lot of thought.
Yes.
Detailed lists. I'm always a sucker for those.
Oh yeah.
And also, I'm picking it because he may have seen some things that I didn't, or viewed things differently than I did, and so I'm giving Chase my favorite.
Me too, and I completely agree with him.
Okay.
This was so ham-fisted. I can't think of a better word for Gotham than ham-fisted. Everything from, like, I did like the way the city looked. I thought they did a great job developing the look. I thought the actors looked good. There were some moments of brilliance. I'll give it that. But the script was horrible and so ham-fisted and stupid. First of all, when is this taking place? They have cell phones and stuff, so it's somewhere in the last 10, 15 years. There's new cars driving around, and there's old cars. For some reason, Harvey and Gordon are rolling around in, like, the Dragnet K car from the 70s, you know? And they're trying to give it this timeless feel, and I'm fine with that, if you want to give it a timeless feel. But then there's other things you can't do, like give characters cell phones. That pulls you right out of the timelessness.
And it didn't for me.
See, it ripped me out of it. And the whole time is like, when is this fucking taking place? Not to mention the fact,
What if it's like Ultimate?
I agree with
Batman,
Dwight.
Batman, right?
And we'll get there. I agree with Dwight. Catwoman did not witness the murder of the Waynes. That's fucking stupid. And I don't need a conspiracy being hammered into the murder of the Waynes. The reason Batman is who he is because stupid, random crime took his parents.
All right. Well, I'm going to stop you there because larger mysteries at the heart of the Wayne's murder.
They've tried to do it several times.
Always been a part of that.
They've tried to do it several times, I'm sure. But now it's going to be like the focus of this fucking show. And like when the cops show up, they're like, they're standing over these two dead bodies and the kid is sitting over there by himself, you know, on the stairs. Like, who gives a shit about the little orphan brat? You know, and Gordon walks over and is like, I promise you, look me in the eye. I promise, P-R-O-M-I-S-E, I'm going to find your parents' killers.
You're shouting.
It's just ridiculous. I mean, like, come on, be like, hey, man, I'm going to do everything in my power to help you. You know, like, because you have to kill yourself when you fail. It was just so ridiculous. And like, there was so much of this that like, they cram all this stuff into Gotham before Batman is Batman. Montoya and Crispus Allen, for example, were not around. They were not around.
Yes, in the comics. They weren't around in the comics.
They weren't. They came later, and crushing this character in so we can get a Latino lesbian on board to get a little more diversity on the show. Oh, and not just that, but she had an affair with Barbara Gordon because, you know, everyone in the show is related to everybody in some way. It's so ham-fisted.
I'll concede to that part of your point, but not the first part.
There's plenty of female cops they could have thrown into this that didn't occur later on in the story.
I was thrilled to have Montoya and Allen in the show. Thrilled.
It doesn't make any sense to me.
It's not the comic.
And
it doesn't matter.
And I get that.
It's never going to get to the point where he actually suits up and becomes Batman.
I understand
ever.
That. My next point is, I get that this is a different thing. It's a different show. But they are crushing this stuff into it. Literally crushing
and
it.
In many of the cases, I agree. And but not in the case of Allen and Montoya. I was thrilled to have
I was okay that they showed up, but I was like, all right, that's a little weird, but whatever. And now all of a sudden she had a lesbian affair with Barbara Gordon. That is dumb. I'm sorry, but that's just dumb. And they're doing it just to do it. You know, and just to get another weird little storyline where James Gordon bumped into every single person Batman has ever met, good or bad, before he was Batman, when they were kids or a little younger or whatever. I mean, like, every single one. Like, this is the first episode, man, and we've already got like everybody running around. The Poison Ivy thing was dumb. It was just like if you didn't get that she was Poison Ivy, there's even a scene where she's watering the plants in the apartment and she's wearing a green sweater. Like, come on. It was just so ham-fisted. And where did the Penguin's nickname come from?
His beak nose?
Okay, is that it? Because they never told us. Everything else in this show, they explicitly spelled out, like Chase said. anybody who had a motivation literally turned and looked in the camera and went, I'm a bad guy, or otherwise turned and went, I'm a good guy. Then for some reason, there's just a scene where the Penguin is helping out Jada Pinkett Smith, who I thought was awful. Absolutely awful.
Disagree.
I couldn't stand her. He turns to this guy that they're beating up someone in an alley. And one of the guys is like, you want to take a shot at him? Penguin. And he's like, don't call me that. Why? Where did that come from? He's not even wearing like a tuxedo or anything. I don't get it.
He's got a little hook nose. It just has weird little dumb bird nose.
And like, if to take it even further, there's a stand-up comedian that's telling kind of a dark joke on the stage that Jada Pinkett Smith is listening to. Like, I wonder if he's the Joker. What do you think?
Okay,
like,
now I'm going to stop you there. I'm going to stop you there because something that I read about that they're going to do is that there's going to be a different stand-up comedian at different points in the show.
Like, yes.
Different comedians are going to come in and out.
I get it. And each one of them may or may not be.
And each one will have like a vaguely Joker-esque characteristic. And so you'll never really know. You'll never really know. And that I love. I love that idea.
I just don't care. That multiplied with all the other stuff was just another ham-fisted Easter egg that they've crushed into.
You've used the word
the story.
This term ham-fisted 18 times.
There's no better word for it. I'm sorry. But this, like, it could have been a perfectly good show had they focused on Jim Gordon and Harvey Bullock going after the Falcone family and the corruption in Gotham. I'm fine with that. You could make a perfectly good show like that. This is Batman without Batman. And a lot of these aspects don't work
Batman
without Batman
at all.
What I'm saying is,
it's a Jim Gordon show.
I get that. But why are we crushing all the Batman aspects into it then? The Penguin, Poison Ivy.
No, I
Edward
agree.
Nygma,
I agree.
The Riddler.
I agree.
Things that we don't need in a Jim Gordon show that they are shoveling into it. And this was more Batman and Robin than Christopher Nolan's Batman. It was silly. It was almost as ridiculous as the glow light gang that Batgirl has a race with in Batman and Robin down in the glow light district. It was just ridiculous. And I wanted to like the show. And I liked the actors. I loved Donal Logue. And I thought he did a great job as Harvey Bullock. But the script they handed him was just nothing short of stupid. I'm giving it a huge thumbs down.
Okay. I don't agree. Obviously, I enjoyed it. I do agree with a lot of everyone's points, with a lot of Chase's points and your points. I did not like or need everything being connected. I had the same problems with Smallville.
Yeah, it's just ridiculous.
Oh, you mean he meets Lois in just after high school? Oh, it's Brainiac for some reason. You're like, I don't need every single thing that's ever happened to Superman to happen before he actually becomes Superman.
Yeah,
I get it. I also didn't like it here. Catwoman, I didn't mind so much.
Hated it.
I didn't mind her presence so much, and I don't mind the Penguin so much, but the Riddler and Ivy, absolute waste of time.
Yeah.
I didn't want those in the show.
Stupid.
I think Brent is the one
that
said it.
Oh, no, you're right. Brent said it. Yeah.
Where he's already essentially the Riddler without the green suit already.
Yeah, he's there.
And I totally agreed. Like, anyone that broken, I'm sorry, they are not going to hire him on in any official capacity at the police station.
It's just dumb. Although this, like Chase said, this is a police station where bad guys are kept 3 feet from cops'
desks. I mean, that was a little silly. I agree. Honestly, that just washed right over me and I didn't even think about it. So to say that it bothered me is a stretch, but now that it's pointed out, yeah, I get it.
Well, without that scene, we would never understand that Jim Gordon's a good guy and he's a Boy Scout, right? They had to have this completely obvious scene where Jim Gordon's like, wait a minute, before we murder this guy, let's try and do it by the books. And everyone goes, we don't do it by the books in Gotham.
That's Jim Gordon's character.
I'm not saying it's not. I'm saying there's better ways to do it.
But establishing that, I thought it was important. I liked the idea that Gordon is like the one tiny candle flicker of light in an otherwise completely dark and corrupt place.
I just think they made him a little too bright. For the record, I liked the actor, and I thought he played it well.
What do you mean a little too bright?
Well, he goes, just like Dwight said, Chase said, in the very end, he goes and sits down in front of a 10-year-old kid and hands him his badge and goes, hey, I murdered an innocent guy, man.
Except he didn't. I disagreed there because I liked that scene because Gordon didn't know it was a frame-up when they went after the guy.
I know.
Like, that did not come out until after the guy was dead.
Fine. You don't have to go tell baby Bruce Wayne that. You can go, hey, man, we didn't get the guy, but I'm still going to do it. I'm still looking for him. I promise you, kid. You don't have to go in all the specifics of it and hand him your badge and crap.
Oh, calm down. I think you're reaching a little bit
Alfred
there.
Was terrible.
It's certainly a very different kind of
Alfred. Oi, mate, I'm Alfred, and I'm British, and I'm tough.
I didn't dislike Alfred. I mean, it's very different. It's very different.
Yeah, I did not like
You are really reaching on some of these. Like, I did not think that... I thought that it felt right to me that he went to Bruce, that the murder of the Waynes is the thing that motivated Gordon to become who he is as a cop.
Fine.
And so for me to bookend the episode with him going to Wayne Manor and saying, I'm sorry, I was wrong.
I don't have a problem with that. I have a problem with the way they executed it.
Whatever.
It was just super cheeseball.
No, I don't agree. That didn't bother me at all. So I really like the character of Gordon. Yes, yes, everyone wears their motivation on their sleeve. Yes, they explain their motivation every time they open their mouths. I get it. The script wasn't super strong. But I thought visually it was very impressive. I thought that the acting was pretty good all around. I did like Fish Mooney as the one thing that's not actually from the comics inserted into the show. I thought she did fine.
I don't know. I just thought she was paper thin and just dumb.
No,
didn't really add much.
No, I liked her.
Why not show the penguin like trying to crawl out from his parent's shadow or something? Like what Dwight said, the Cobblepots were an established family. Why not give us that?
They've changed it. They've changed the history of the penguin, and you're either okay with it or you're not.
I know. I'm not okay.
And also all that shit about the Cobblepots being an established Gotham family and the penguin being an outcast from that family, that's all modern too. That's not the history of the penguin.
I'm not saying it's not modern. I'm saying I like that history better than the one we were presented here.
Well, that's fine, but I didn't have any problems with it.
Okay.
You know, he's this guy getting started in this life of crime. He's obviously kind of a sadist. And so this thing happened to drive him over the edge on the path to becoming, hopefully, the crime lord that we know him to be.
I also hate that he's a tall, skinny guy. I hate that.
Visually, he was not very penguin-esque.
Not
I agree.
At all.
But yeah, I understand the criticisms. I really do. I certainly did not dislike it to the level that a lot of people did. I thought it showed a lot of promise. I hope they toned down the whole everybody's connected thing. The way they marketed it at the beginning made it seem like Pamela Isley is going to be front and center all the time.
Yeah.
Same with the Riddler. And really, they had seconds of screen time.
Right.
Seconds.
I just get sick of major TV production houses like the WB taking a property like this and not trusting the audience enough to tone it down, to just tone it down and give us a good story that takes place in this world. They have to be like, no, we have to spoon feed them references, Easter egg after Easter egg. Otherwise, the nerds will instantly turn it off. No, I won't.
See, and I think that I think you're mistaking the audience that they're going for. They are not concerned about whether or not we're going to understand it.
Well,
or
then
get it.
Why throw a character like Pamela Isley in there that nobody knows and call her Ivy? They didn't even call her Pamela Isley.
That's why they called her Ivy, so that the civilians will go, isn't there a Batman character named Ivy?
See, they're not going to pick up on that. My wife sure didn't know who it was.
Poison Ivy was in Batman and Robin. She made it into the movies.
I get that. Casey watched this with me. She didn't pick up on hardly any of the Easter eggs, but saw me like groan. And she would go, is that a comic book thing? And I went, yeah. And she goes, well, why did they throw that in there? That's dumb. I mean, like, even people who don't know can be like, they're obviously trying to talk to somebody at this, you know? And
sure. I mean, I'm not saying it couldn't have been handled better, but I am saying I sympathize. They're trying to...
Yeah, this is no easy task. Certainly.
They're trying to introduce this show to people that aren't already tailor-made to receive it.
Right.
And just because most of us already know everything about Batman, we're able to groan when, oh, look, Ivy Pepper's holding a plant. I understand.
Like, there's a crime being committed over on Neil Adams Boulevard. <You
know? laughs> Sure. But you know what? That shit's in the shows all the time.
The intersection of Saturn Girl and Angel and the Ape. You know?
That kind of stuff. That kind of stuff happens in adaptations all the time, and I know. It's just a wink, and it's fine. Like Grundy Street, okay.
Dumb.
It's not dumb. At the worst, it's cheesy. Just move on.
Don't do it.
No, let it just pass by you. Who cares?
I tried.
Are they ever going to mention Grundy Street again?
I let the first 12 pass by me. Then they started to weigh me down after that. And by the end, I had so many Easter eggs in my lap, I couldn't get up.
You know? No, I thought it had a lot of promise. It wasn't perfect. I will say it's a damn sight better than the premieres of both Smallville and Arrow.
Absolutely.
And
I'm not saying that this show can't be successful. If they dial it down, and I think they're going to, hopefully they're going to hear the criticism and they're going to go, okay, they're right.
Sure.
We are a little heavy-handed with this.
It's a pilot.
Yeah. Right? If they dial it down just a little bit, I mean, I'm not even like 30% dial it down that much. This is a good show.
Yeah.
The problem is there's too much extraneous bullshit that just made it annoying. Bad acting, bad story.
I didn't think the acting was bad. I really didn't.
Oh, get out of here.
Are you
kidding me?
I didn't.
You liked the Penguin. You thought he was good in his role.
Yes,
really?
I did.
Oh, God.
For the role that he was given, I thought he executed it in a perfectly competent fashion.
Ugh. Regardless, it's a thumbs up from Joe Patrick. Another thumbs down for me.
I mean, it's more like a thumb... like halfway between up and down.
Oh, come on. Commit yourself, buddy.
Well, it's not a binary choice.
No, we already established that it is. It's either thumbs up or thumbs down.
This is how we do it. Either A plus or F minus. Hey, that's not how it goes.
That's how it works here, buddy.
That's not how the world works.
You can either save your show with a thumbs up. Otherwise, we got a tie.
Well, then I guess I give it a thumbs up.
Okay.
Jesus. Right. If it's got to be one or the other, I'd rather see more of it than not ever see it again.
These are the conversations that I love to have with my friend Joe Patrick and with you guys. This is what nerds do. We pick it apart. We attack it because it means something to us and we're passionate about it. I appreciate everybody that called in, whether you liked it or didn't like it. I appreciate where you guys stand. We obviously all love Batman. We obviously all love Jim Gordon. This is Batman without Batman, obviously. And I don't think the argument that it's not Batman counts because Bruce Wayne's murder, his parents.
Sure.
He's like what starts the story.
But this isn't a story about how Bruce Wayne becomes Batman.
That's
not what this show is going
to
be.
They're going to do everything they can to dodge it while giving you as much of it as possible is what they're going to do.
That's fair.
We will have a new question of the week posted by the time you hear this. Joe, what is that question?
This week's question, based on the bizarre news that Warner Brothers is developing a show about the Sandman spinoff, Lucifer.
I don't think it's that bizarre.
It's bizarre.
I don't think it is.
Of all the things to choose, why? That's just an odd pick,
man. Sandman is impossible. That's why.
Well, maybe because there's a Sandman movie coming out.
Could be.
Anyway, the question of the week is, what is the weirdest comic book you can think of that would also make a kick-ass TV show?
Give us your treatment. We don't want you to just, like, you know, throw something out there and walk away.
It's okay if you don't cast it.
Hitman, the end! You know, no.
It's okay if you don't cast it because I'm bad at that fantasy casting.
But if you do,
stuff.
That's awesome.
If you do, extra points. There are no points. But
there are points.
There are no points. We love you all equally, except for at the end where we love one of you a little bit more than everyone else.
There is a scoreboard. Joe Patrick is not allowed to push the button.
Not true. But yeah, get creative. Don't just say, this is my dream idea for a Spider-Man TV. No. Pick like a weird-ass comic that you love and explain why it would be a great TV show.
Totally. Totally. You have until next Friday, of course, to answer that. And like we told you, you got a little extra time.
October 3rd. No. Friday at midnight. It's not that hard.
Okay.
You have 6 days.
Princess Ashley, are you paying attention? Get us your damn answer, sweetheart. We haven't heard from you for a while, all right?
You don't have to be a member of the forums to just go look at the question
forums. You don't. And if you listen to the show and you like it and you're into it, call us. Your opinion counts. We want to hear it. Don't tear anybody down unless you're really stupid.
Even then, I think we kind of give you a pass.
Even then, we'll give you the benefit of the doubt. We love you guys. It's your show. Thank you for calling. And just for clarification, when I say guys, that's everybody. Dudes, dudettes, ladies, kids,
animals. I love
animals,
how you feel like everybody. You have to explain it every week.
I just feel like we, you know, I want the ladies to be invited because it's all dudes.
They're invited. They know they're invited.
Please.
They just don't care.
Call us. We'll have another episode of The Two-Headed Nerd up this weekend, barring any more future catastrophes. This is The Two-Headed Nerd, signing off.
Hey, nerds, if you've got an answer to the question of the week, you can call THN at the Ziggurat direct line and leave your message at 402-819-4894 or using the Skype username Two-Headed Nerd. And if you're too shy or have just too much to say at once, you can write your message under the Answer of the Week section of the THN forums.